blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 415 in the fourth stanza. Good and upright is Jehovah, in his dealings evermore. Sinners are by him instructed, in the way untrod before. He will ever guide the meek, in his judgments true and holy. Teach his ways to those who seek, with a contrite heart and lowly. Stanza 4 of Psalter 415.
Thank you. wish to read out of God's holy and precious word out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 88, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 88, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician upon Mahalath-Leanoth, Maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou art in the heavens, thou rulest over all the universe, and thou art the King of thy church, so that thou wilt care for each and every one of thy own, and they are in thy own kingdom. But thou knowest where that they are here also upon this world, and how many do not cry, who are lying in the prison, those who do lift up their voice unto thee, and there is no answer from on high. Thou knowest those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and that have no light, that have no opening. And thou knowest the cry of their hearts, for thou hast put it in their hearts. Oh, that thou may give also light in the midst of thy people. Oh, then there is so much that thou givest here in this world, that men may receive light in the natural things, that they may do so many things with the materials of this world, and that they may have understanding, that they may go in the ships and fly through the air, and that they may have so much technology and computers. Oh, the understanding, Lord, that is so great in this world. But wilt thou give light unto thy people, O Lord? And thou hast given thy holy word, and that word thou dost shine light upon, and by thy spirit, that it may be opened unto the babes, though it is hidden from the wise and the prudent. Thou knowest, Lord, those who have cried day and night before thee. Thou knowest those whose soul is full of troubles, and whose life does draw near unto the grave, that do not know how to go forward, that do not know where to turn. That thou wouldst hear them, as thou hast heard thy children from that land of bondage, whose cry did come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That heaven, Lord, would not be so silent. And thou knowest all our flesh and all our sin, all our transgression, that we are unworthy of the least of all thy notice and of all thy attention. And then it will be the greatest wonder if thou wilt but think upon us. But wilt thou remember us from heaven, thy dwelling place, and look upon us in our wretchedness, in our misery, and that thou would look upon us in our sin and in our inability to deliver ourselves therefrom, and that thou mayst send thy spirit from heaven, thy dwelling place, to give the application of the work which thou hast accomplished upon that cursed tree. That thou may reveal unto us thy dear and only begotten Son, and that thou wouldst come for the first time or by renewal, feelingly and believingly in our hearts, and that we might know that thou knowest of us, and that thou knowest where that we are and the condition that we are in, and that thou wouldst raise up many from that state of spiritual death. We can read it in thy holy word, and that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. O Lord, then thou knowest the iniquity and the sin that abounds here upon this world. With all thy gifts and all thy blessings, then we have taken everything and we have gone every man our own way. Then it is necessary to be stopped in our mad career and to be brought back by thee. And then it is not in our own power to stop ourselves or one another, but thou hast an almighty arm. Could it please thee, and then to look upon us in the days wherein we do live as a congregation, O Lord, then we begin here with ourselves, and that thou mayest look on us and on our dear children, and that thou mayest give revival and breaking forth through the bands of the prince of darkness, who does hold in the bands of death, that spiritual death, the love of sin, the love of the world, the love of vanity, the love of self. That thou wouldest break through those bands, O Lord, thou who hast raised thyself from the dead, O thou who hast power over death, hell, and the grave, thou who art stronger than the devil,
that thou mayest look upon us, O Lord, in our wretchedness and misery, in our death state, and wilt thou give life from the dead. For we can try to bring thy holy word, but when it is but in the hands only of a man, O Lord, thou knowest how powerless that we are. But it is thy work, O Lord, and it is thy holy word. And thou sayest it is through the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt save them that believe. Oh, that thou mayest do it then in our midst, amongst the young and old, the children, the young people. And wilt thou say unto us thus far and no further, our denomination, Lord, and thou knowest all the truth that thou hast preserved for us as a people, and that thou hast given unto us from our own forefathers, and that thou dost withhold from so many in this world. But we do take thy blessing so for granted, and we sin against thee therewith, and we are worthy, and that thou wouldest take thy candlestick and remove it out of its place, as thou hast done to so many places in this world. Oh, give us then also as a denomination and as a people, that we might take heed unto our ways, that we may be brought back in a true humility upon our knees before thee, and that the prayers also of our fathers which have ascended unto thine ears, that thou wouldest hear yet, and may it be even the prayer of thy dear and only begotten Son, could it please thee to extend thy kingdom, to give him a people, Lord. Is he not worthy of a great company, and that shall magnify and praise him who has so suffered, who has so taken that curse upon himself, even unto death, who has so fulfilled thy will, O Lord, has done all the things that thou didst require of him, and hast thou not promised unto him a seed that should serve him? And wilt thou not do it then, O Lord, also in the midst of the covenant, thy own covenant, which is placed also as a sign and a seal upon the foreheads of us and our children? Thou hast promised, O Lord, to work amongst the generations of thy people. To whom else, O Lord, shall we go but unto thee? And thou hast the words of eternal life. And wilt thou do it then for thy glory and for thy name's sake, that we may experience and feel something in the poverty of our days, of thy spirit beginning to move once again as it is moved in the days of our fathers. Lord, we beseech thee for our nation, the nations of this world. Thou knowest where, how far that we have departed from thee. Help, O Lord, in all the difficulties that thou hast placed upon us, the entire world, and that is brought into a great turmoil, and by one of thy little fingers, O Lord, that thou wouldst show unto us that thou art God, and that these judgments may bring us back upon our knees, and that we might learn to pray, that we might learn to turn away from our iniquity and our sin, O Lord, and that thou mayest help our rulers to make decisions in the midst of the turmoil of this world, and that thou mayest give them wisdom and courage, and that thou wouldest put away the devices of Satan that who desires to destroy thy church. And when we may see with our eyes coming the dark clouds upon thy church that thou dost say will come in the last times, O Lord, then bring us to our knees, and that we might hasten with our children for our life's sake, and that we may be prepared to stand in that great day, and that thou wouldest watch over us and permit us to escape at that which is coming. O Lord, we beseech thee to look upon us and deal not with us as our many, many sins deserve. Remember those youth, even of this, our own congregation, and the children that have left thy truth, and thou knowest where that they are, and then the discouragements of parents, they can be so very great, and the griefs which they grieve, O Lord, give them a place by thee, a place upon at thy footstool, at thy throne of grace. And that thou wouldest hear from heaven thy dwelling place. We remember husbands and wives. O Lord, the institution that thou hast given and preserved yet among us. O, remember them in thy mercy, Lord. And that thou wouldest give love for one another. And that thou wouldest preserve that bond, that institution. And that thou mayest give unto our children that blessed obedience to father and to mother, and deal not with us according to our many sins. Care for the sick, care for the afflicted, care for all that mourn. Help us, O Lord, this hour. Be in the midst of us as one that serveth. Oh, that we might feel something of thy presence, something of thy nearness, Lord. Just could it be for a few moments? Could it be, Lord, and that thou wouldest appear, and that thou wouldest come again, and that thou wouldest remember us for Jesus' sake? Amen.
So let us sing from Psalter 272 all the stanzas. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. 1-4 of Psalter 272.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, David sings in Psalm 40 about a song, about a new song that the Lord has put in his mouth. He says, even praise unto our God. Praise unto our God. That is a song which was sung already by our first parents in the state of innocency before the fall. Praise unto our God. Did you ever wish, children, young people, did you ever think about that? What that must have been in paradise? Did you ever wish that maybe you also could experience such a thing? Praise unto our God, that was in a blessed perfection of holiness, of righteousness, that they may sing unto God. But David, he speaks about a new song. A new song that the Lord has put into his mouth. And that is a song that was never sung by our first parents in that state of innocency. It was a new song. In the state of innocency, they did not know that song. And why not? Because it was a song of deliverance. What is David saying? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and from the miry clay. That was not necessary before the fall. That had become necessary by the fall. Did you ever experience that in your own heart? How horrible a pit into which we have fallen. A pit that is full of miry clay. Children, Jeremiah, they put down into that pit. And there was mire in the pit. Slime. And we read that he sunk in the mire. And that you understand that he is not able to get out of that pit. No, then the more that you try, the deeper that you are sinking in that pit. And so Paul says, it is now also with sin. Sin discovered by the law. And Paul, he says, it wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. What is that? Concupiscence. The law that has wrought in me all kinds of evil desire. Concupiscence. Because when we see children, that it is forbidden, then our heart gravitates toward it. So that is in the first place. But in the second place, that law has discovered to me all kinds of evil desires in my heart. When you are facing a great enemy, and you begin to slay those that are on the first lines, the front lines, they begin to fall. And what do you discover? you discover there are more behind them. And the more that you slay, the more you begin to understand that this is a great company that is coming against you, an horrible pit. That is what our fall has cast us into. That is what David experienced. That is what the true church of God experiences, and that is necessary for us also to experience. Why? We wish to see that when we consider the words of our text this afternoon from Romans 7, the 24th verse. Romans 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So far the words of our text. Sounds out of an horrible pit. First, the sounds of self-despair. O wretched man that I am, of self-despair. Second, sounds indicating an essential turning point. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Indicating an essential turning point. The sounds out of an horrible pit. First, of self-despair. Second, indicating an essential turning point. O wretched man that I am. That is the exclamation of the apostle in his captivity. That is what we heard last time, in the midst of his struggle, in the midst of this warfare. Warfare with whom, children? You remember? Who is the enemy? Sin. Sin. Is he your enemy also? That is our first question. We have asked that of all of you in these past weeks. This is where we have begun. We cannot skip over this question. There are many, many persons in the world. There are many, many persons in the church who consider themselves to be wretched, to be very, very miserable, but not because of sin. Thus, if we have never joined battle with this enemy, then we are not born of God. Then we are not part of the militant church. And then we will not be part of that church triumphant. That is now a matter between the Lord and our soul. That is a personal matter. Do we now ask the Lord that question? Are we concerned with this question? In our private chamber, where we go on our knees, do we ask the Lord then, is it really sin? Is it really sin that is my grief? Because it is sin, O Lord, against thee. Paul speaks about a captivity. He says, a captivity to the law of sin which is in his members. He has experienced his helplessness in that warfare. The great numbers of that enemy. The power of that enemy. And now he cries out. Now finally, he cries out. He cries out from under his burden. He cries out in the midst of this captivity. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." What is that? To be wretched. That is, the word means an enduring turmoil, enduring troubles, enduring. Enduring? What does that mean? Then it is not known by a person yet who has just entered into the battle that he is wretched, because he has endured nothing yet. He has only begun that battle. No, this is a cry of the apostle who has been fighting in that battle, who has experienced he cannot overcome in that battle. He has experienced his hopelessness in that fight. It is a despair. In this warfare, he comes to an end. He comes to an end of his wisdom, how to fight that enemy. And that enemy is very subtle. He comes with all of his attacks in the time that he is least watchful. He has experienced that enemy that is much stronger than he is, that is coming against that desire that he may be an upright man. He says, "I cannot be a righteous man. I cannot be a man who walks uprightly before the face of the Lord as my heart desires to do." Oh, he is cut off from this. From what? Because we hear that expression sometimes, that a person needs to be cut off. What does that mean, young people? What does it mean, we need to be cut off? That is true. But it is used in different ways, and it is very easy to confuse what it means to be cut off. Because it is possible then we are speaking about something else, a different point in the life of God's children. Even that they are standing before their judge, and when they have to come in guilty before that judge, the judgment seat of God, and when their life is cut off, we're not speaking about that here. No, we're not so far in looking at the life of the people and those different sounds that are coming forth from the people. This is now a different cutting off. This is not a cutting off of the life yet. No, it has not gone so far yet. But this is now a cutting off from their wisdom, cutting off of their strength, a cutting off of all of their own righteousness, a cutting off of all the hope that they had from themselves. Thus, it is a bringing into the impossibility. We have heard what the desire is. We have heard what the warfare is. We have heard the weapons of that warfare. What are they? Ah, it is that human strength. It is that godly desire. It is that heavenly zeal. And those are the weapons of their warfare. It is their own watchfulness. And they are not going to transgress those laws of the Lord. It is that tender conscience. Oh, so they are going forward with the weapons of their warfare against that enemy of sin. And now, all wretched man that I am. Why? They're not wretched because they're in pain. They are not wretched because they have a bodily disease. They are not wretched because they cannot have all of the things that they desire in this world. They are not wretched because of their temporal poverty. No, they are wretched, oh wretched man that I am, because of sin. Because of sin. And that sin is cutting them off. You remember the desires? My soul longs for thee. It hungers for thee. And now that sin that is cutting off that communion, the Lord is silent. There is no favor to be experienced from heaven. I feel only the displeasure of the Lord out of heaven, oh wretched man that I am. John Bunyan, he pictures that pilgrim trying to put off that burden. He pictures him trying to put off that burden in what he calls the city of morality. Where did he come from? You know the story, right, children, young people? You know the story? Pilgrim's Progress? What is the city he came from? The city of destruction. He came out of that. We would say he came out of the world. He left the world and all the things that are in the world. And now Mr. Worldly Wise Man, he sees him with his burden. And he says, there is another city over there. It is called the City of Morality. And in that city dwells a man, his name is Mr. Legality. What does that now represent? It represents what we call a legal obedience. What is that? That is that a man attempts to merit with his own strength, with his own ability to keep that law of God. Legal. There are many people who live there. In that city, come out of the city of destruction, and I've gone there to the city of morality. Bunyan says, Mr. Legality, he has a certain skill, a skill to help people off with their burdens, like Christian had. Has he helped you off also with your burden? What does that represent? That represents, well, Bunyan, he says, Mr. Legality, he has a pretty son. A pretty son, civility. Civility, you know what it means to be civil, right? Civility. What does it all represent? It represents a changing, a lowering of the standard of the law of God. We bring that standard down to our own level. We make the law of God to suit ourselves. That is, if we cannot reach that height, what is that height? Perfection. What do? We bring that standard down here to something that I can reach. We make the standard imperfection. That is now Mr. Civility. He says, oh, The Lord knows that we are not perfect. That is Mr. Civility. Did he say that in your heart? The Lord knows we are not perfect. We cannot do it all just right. The Lord will look through his fingers at your sin. It does not have to. The Lord will not require that perfection from us. He knows we are fallen creatures. Mr. Civility. Mr. Civility slays his 10,000s. Just think about ourselves and what lives in our heart. What do we say in our heart? It is just a little thing. It's just a little thing. So the Lord, he will look past it. It is just minor. The Lord knows that we are human. And so we throw the burden off. And we go to sleep. And we do that in the name of morality. We do that in the name of Christianity. Why? We say, well, we are not in the city of destruction. We are not in the world. We are in the church. We have religion. We pray. And just because we cannot keep that law perfectly, well, then we don't have to be so burdened. Remember that that city of morality is very close to the city of destruction. And the city of morality was destroyed with the city of destruction. You know what the Bible says? They have a name to live, and they are dead. City of morality. A very dangerous place. Christian almost came there. He almost went there. But he didn't come there. Why didn't he get there? Because the way went past Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. And then there are many people, they can just walk by that Mount Sinai. The strictness of that law of God. You can just walk it by. But that was not possible with Bunyan's pilgrim because he came to that mountain and that mountain was trembling and there was lightning and there was the sound of a trumpet and there was the voice of words and he did not dare go. One step further. On that route to get to that city of morality. Cursed, that mountain said. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Everyone, all things. That was now that regenerated man. He did not dare to go another step. Do you know what the Bible says? Every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. That is now the teaching of that Spirit of the Lord. How do you think it is with those people? Oh, they do not play with the law of God. You say that people, are they not regenerated? Are they not in the new covenant? Oh, that is a good question. Are they not in that new covenant in regeneration? That is true. That is true. But a little infant, he is alive. He experiences what life is. But he cannot tell you that he is alive. That he does not realize. That is for a different time in his life. Now let us go back to that Sinai. When the Lord has given his law from Mount Sinai. The children of Israel, were they not in a new covenant? Was that new covenant not revealed in Genesis 3, verse 15? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So when the Lord brought his people to Horeb, and he gave them his law, did he do that then under a broken covenant of works? Or did he give them that law under a new covenant, the covenant of grace? Did the Lord then send them back to that old way when he gave him his law? He did not. No. Moses had to take a lamb. He had to catch the blood. He had to take of that blood and sprinkle it on the people. Was there a lamb in the first covenant? In the broken covenant? There was no lamb. That is only in the second covenant. No, the Lord did not send his people back to a broken covenant. But why were they afraid then? Does the Lord make that people afraid? Is there anything to fear in that new covenant, that covenant of grace? Oh, when the Lord brought his people there, then he made them to tremble before that mount. No, that law was not given under the administration of a broken covenant. But that broken covenant was the most conspicuous part when they received that moral law. And so it is in the experience in the life of his people. When the Lord is bringing them into the knowledge of sin. You say the Lord has brought them into a new covenant. Then young people, then the people, they say today, well, then we must rejoice. Wait a moment. That is not what happened in the wilderness. Those people were not rejoicing there. They were trembling there. Because the Lord laid before them his justice. The Lord laid before them their sin. And so it is now in the life of his church. It begins there. Necessarily, because the Lord first shows the people from what? He is going to deliver them. O wretched man that I am, God, he brings his people to see where they are lying, at the bottom of an horrible pit, miry clay that they cannot get out. That is necessary. That is why our fathers, they would see such a young warrior, and he is going forward. In that strength, in that zeal that the Lord gives, indeed, in regeneration. And they look at that man and they say, "Man, I hope that you may quickly work yourself to death." Why? Because they know, they knew where a man has to come. And then they say so often, "Oh Lord, am I not now at the bottom of the pit? Can it get, Lord, any worse with me? Is it not time, O Lord, for thee to work?" And heaven is silent. Is silent. Why? Still something left. There's still something left. Little strength yet. Little wisdom yet. From their own side. And then the Lord says, "No, you are not ready yet. Do you know what it is? It is, first, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then it is me. But then, well, I need the Lord a little bit too. Me and the Lord." And the way goes on. And then it turns around. And then it is the Lord and me. And then it can be many years. It can be many years. So many years in your life, it can be many years before it comes to that place. The Lord alone. Oh, wretched man that I am. It is so necessary. Why? We see that in our second thought, but we will sing first. 102. 102. Let's sing just stanzas 1, 2, and 3. "In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford." 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 102. or second thought. Sounds out of an horrible pit, indicating an essential turning point. What do we read, O wretched man that I am? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do you hear that sound? Children, do you hear that sound? You hear someone crying. Who shall deliver me? Who is that? We have not heard such a sound before. We have heard many, many sounds. We have heard the sound of that infant in that spiritual life who is crying out after that life, life, eternal life. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, we have heard the sounds of youth as they have gone up with a multitude to that holy hill of Zion with the voice of joy and praise. We have heard those sounds. We have heard the sound of the young soldier in that church militant who is going forth in that fight against sin. Oh, he is going to walk with a perfect heart. Oh, we have heard the sounds of how that is beginning to go. That hand-to-hand combat, how that goes in the life of young and old in that spiritual church. No, then we say it is not going in such a good direction. Oh, there is a desire that is in my heart that I may love, that I may serve the Lord. But I see another law in my members warring. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. No, it is not going in a good direction. But now we hear another sound. Who shall deliver me? Do you hear that? We have not heard that sound before. Before, we heard vows. Before, we heard promises. And now, we hear crying. A crying out. A supplicating. Who shall deliver me? It is not a promising people. It is not a vowing people. It is a praying people. Now he needs help. It is the sound of one who has lost this battle. It is the sound of one who is not able to bring himself out of his captivity. Who shall deliver me? Deliver, what is that? That is to rescue. Who will rescue me? Who is going to come now to my aid? Who will help me? Who will bring me out of the prison? Who will bring out of the captivity? We say a sound out of an horrible pit, indicating an essential turning point. Why? Because the church of God has to learn to be saved with their hands down. With their hands down. Why? Because the salvation of the true church is a salvation by deliverance. By deliverance. It is not a salvation by human merit. It is a salvation by the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall deliver me? There is now an essential, a most important point. that a soul begins to cry for deliverance. And while we are never brought to this point, we will never see the beauty of a deliverer. Just like the rich young ruler did not see his beauty. Who shall deliver me? Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is working here. The Spirit of the Lord is working here with his people to turn them, to bring them into the place where he is going to make his own son to be so very precious to them. Isaiah said that he has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And so it has been now for our pilgrim. We've gone along with him, right? A little while. We've gone along with him. And so it has been now for our pilgrim up to this point. Up to this point, no man can bring himself to this point. No man. No man throws away his own righteousness. We hold on to that until the very, very end. No man throws away his own strength. What will he not do to get himself out of that pit when he thinks he's going to die? A man does not throw away his own wisdom. What invention would he not try to dream of to get himself out of that pit? No. No man can bring himself to this point. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Some of the old divines, they called it a preparatory work. We do not say that it is preparatory to regeneration. Is there anything preparatory to regeneration? You could say so. Because what does the Lord do? In his providence, he brings a man to the Word, or he brings the Word to a man. So that is, in that sense, preparatory to regeneration. But here, we do not speak of that. This work is the fruit, the consequence of regeneration, what we have been speaking about. And yet it is indeed preparatory. Preparatory to what? It is preparatory to the revelation of that way of salvation. It is preparatory to the revealing of that blessed mediator. Something has to go before that. Let us not skip over that part. Otherwise, indeed, we take him to ourselves, but we have never seen the need for that blessed mediator. Who shall deliver me from what? From this body of death. From this body of sin. From this captivity to sin. that I may be righteous, that I may be holy, that I may live and be upright before the Lord, who will rescue me from my corruption, who will rescue me from the guilt of my sin, who will rescue me from the dominion of sin in my life. Who shall deliver me? Why is this sound out of this horrible pit so necessary? It is necessary for this reason. Do you know what the Apostle Paul says? He says, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But what does Paul say? He says, Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Sinners. Who is that? A sinner. That is not just a person who has sinned. Say, a person who has sinned, yes, he is a sinner. But that is not what the Bible means here. That is not just a person who has sinned. Because a person who has sinned does not necessarily yet know that he is a sinner. A person who has sinned does not yet cry out, "Who shall deliver me?" A person who has sinned. Who is that? That's the whole world. Well, man in the world, go on the street, ask them, "Have you sinned?" "Yes, I have sinned." There is not a person in the whole world who will not tell you that they have sinned. That is a very different thing than to be convinced in our heart that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that is now the people. That is now the people whom the name of Christ is associated with in the Holy Scriptures. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? They are the sounds of the Spirit, blowing where it listeth, and beginning now to direct that poor soul unto the Savior, making room for him, making a man suitable to be a fit object of the power of that mediator. But that soul doesn't know it yet. He doesn't know it yet. What does he say? Who shall deliver me? He doesn't know. Oh, he is so lost. He does not know how to be saved. What does he know? He knows that from which he is now turning away. He knows that because he has experienced that there is no help there. But he does not yet know to whom he must turn. Christ is now the most hidden person of that Holy Trinity for that people. Is he a hidden person to you? Is he a hidden person to you? You say, that is now him whom God's people love. And I do not know him. A hidden person. Who shall deliver me? Was that man never pointed to him? Has he never heard his name? Bunyan's pilgrim, evangelist, the minister. Did he tell him, go there to Sinai? No. Has he not heard of that name of Jesus? Didn't he tell him, yonder is the wicket gate? He told him, but he had no ears to hear it. He was not ready to hear it. He was truly converted, a regenerated man, but he was still ready to try it in the city of morality. Had some strength left. Had some wisdom left. And so that name, all that has gone just by him. And now Mount Sinai, that has taken that all away. Has taken that all away. And you know what Bunyan says? Now he is at a stand. He's standing there. And he does not know where to go. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Precious place. Precious place. Will you consider this place? That this man, that God's church is brought. No, it was not precious to him in those moments. No, because there he is brought into self-despair. Notice I do not say despair. I say self-despair. Because the Lord does not bring his people into a total despair. That is the work of the devil, to make a man take his life. And the devil is doing it. So many young people, especially in the days that we are living, there are persons, they have said, I'm afraid to come to this place. I do not know if I want to come there. You do not need to be afraid. Does the Lord work like the devil? No. The Lord's work is so full of love. The Lord's work is a drawing work. Even in the midst of all that warfare, no. You do not need to be afraid. Because the Lord, he upholds his people. And he brings them through it. And now we see that sinner turning. He is turning. He is turning away. But he does not know what to turn toward. Do you know what he is? Say he is a sinner. He has not just sinned. No, he is a sinner. And now you know what he is. He is a lost sinner. He is a lost sinner. Because now he has no more direction. No more direction. He does not know where to go. And he is crying out, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Congregation, now is the Lord's opportunity. In man's extremity, and now the Lord, he is not going to stay away any longer. Something is going to happen here. something so beautiful, something so wonderful, something so glorious. But that we hope to hear, if the Lord may give it in the day of tomorrow. Amen. O Lord, wilt thou bring us to that place where we cannot come except for the power of thy most Holy Spirit? Wilt thou bring us in that true regeneration with the desires, the longings, the pantings after thee into that pit? Show to us what our state and condition is, and give us the cry that thou mayest hear from heaven thy dwelling place. We may acknowledge thee for thy help in this hour. Dismiss us with thy blessing, and wilt thou bring us with thee, Sire, in thy house in the day of tomorrow, when we come for a day of thanksgiving. And thou knowest all that takes place in the world, but give that our hearts may look up unto thee, to acknowledge thee now for all that thou givest unto us. Keep us then from sin and evil, and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 110, all the stanzas. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 110.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessings.